Well, I want to share a word with you tonight. So get your Bibles out. And just kind of, well, I'll tell you, go to Mark chapter 11 right now. Mark 11. Now, I'm really confused about when I preached the last time or whatever's gone on. I just feel like I have no idea with the men's walk going on and all that taking place. So I don't know when I preached, but I preached a message sometime to y'all in the last sometime about being sons of God. And I don't know if I did that on a Sunday morning or it was last Wednesday or the last, well, whenever. So I don't know. But anyway, and I remember talking to you. I couldn't even find any notes on it, but I do know I preached it about that. You know, we got to have a revelation of who we are in life, that we're sons of God, not the son of God. You're just a son of God. You're part of the body of Christ, but you're a son of God. And anyway, I'm going to take off of that tonight on something that I believe will bless you. If it doesn't, there's something wrong with you. So here, Mark chapter 11, passage scripture that we've read, we get, you know, sometimes we get too familiar with things. And what happens if, you know, you can get too familiar with your Bible. I don't know if you know that, but you can. You can get to where you just read over it, you know, like if you have an old Bible, you've got all marked up in little notes and all that kind of stuff around there. But then, you know, what happens is you just get to reading the notes and you get to reading what's underlined. You get to reading, you know, just what you see the same thing every time. And, you know, the Word of God's alive, and so it's inspirational everywhere. And so you've got to have that heart when you read your Bible to say, come on, God, you know, show me something. I want to see something new. I want to see something different. And so, you know, if you've been in Word of Faith movements or charismatic circles for very long, you know, you've probably read Mark 11, 23, and 24 1,000 times, trying to say, come on, Lord, you know, show me something here. Show me, give me some faith. I need some faith. I need to move a mountain or whatever. So don't turn me off as I get into this tonight, because let's just go over, because I got a new wrinkle. Okay, so he says here, you know the story, Jesus going into Jerusalem, sees a fig tree has leaves on it, and if a fig tree had leaves on it, it was supposed to have fruit, because that's the way they are in Israel. If it's got leaves, it should have fruit. He goes to it, it's got leaves on it, but no fruit. In other words, it's a tree that's a, I don't know what you want to call it, it's a hypocrite, you know, it's a, right? It's a deceptive tree, it's putting on its flowers and saying, look at me, but it's not producing any fruit. And we don't want to be Christians like that, right? We don't want to be Christians that got a big pretty leaf on us, but there's no fruit. We're supposed to be bearing fruit. He called us to bear fruit, right? So that means what, if you just went through the whole plan of what Jesus had for us, we're supposed to, you know, get saved, then we're supposed to start producing fruit for our own lives, for our families, and then we're supposed to bear so much fruit that it spews out and it goes over, and we got fruit for everybody else to share. We got more figs than we can eat, right? How many of y'all like figs in here? Oh, good, I got some fig eaters. And so we're supposed to have more fruit than what you can eat. You've got too much revelation for you. You've got to go share it with somebody else. You got to then tell your people around you, your friends, your co-workers and all, because you got more fruit. You're carrying veggies out. You're carrying fruit out everywhere you go, right? So Jesus, he goes to sees the tree and he curses the tree because it doesn't have any fruit on it. Now in verse 20, when they come back by the next morning, it says they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from its roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed is withered. So Jesus spoke to the fig tree. He said to the fig tree, nobody's ever going to eat fruit from you again. A good way to kill a fig tree would just dry it from its roots, right? So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Or actually the literal, more literal translation would be, have God kind of faith. All right? So just that mere statement. Jesus turns to his disciples, these guys that would argue about who's the greatest in the kingdom, these guys that would be mad because think and Jesus says, bring the, you know, did you beware of the leaven of the Pharisees? And they think they forgot bread and, you know, these kind of guys. He turns to them and said, have God, you know, have the God kind of faith. Have faith like God. Now, one thing I can promise you in the scriptures, Jesus never said anything that was not possible. Right? Jesus never said anything. He didn't write anything. He didn't say anything. He didn't make a statement out here that was not humanly possible to do. So like right there, I could just quit and just say, amen, pray a little prayer, and we go home, and you could just dwell on that and chew on that piece of meat that you're supposed to have God kind of faith, the God kind of faith. You're supposed to have God faith. You're supposed to have faith that makes worlds. You're supposed to have faith that calls light in the midst of darkness. Because if you're a son of God, then sons of God should act like their father. Are y'all following me on this? Now, I don't want to plow too deep here because we'll all get lost. Sons of God should act like the Father of God. Right? Sons should act like fathers. Jesus said in John 5:30, he said, look, I don't do anything that unless my father tells me to do it or I've seen my father do it. And he said, in verse 19, he said, I'm not going to do anything, you know, not going to speak anything unless my father speaks it. In other words, he said, I'm acting and looking, I'm doing just what I see my father do. So if you want to know how God is, however Jesus walked on the face of the earth, however he acted, he was just imitating his father, right? So if we're going to be sons of God, then our goal is to just be imitators of our father. But if you don't know your father, then how could you be an imitator of your father? Right? You don't know the word of God. You don't know how Jesus acted. You want to know the father? John 14. He said, show us the father and we'll all believe. He said, man, you've seen him. I mean, I'm paraphrasing here, but go read it. Right? He said, you want to see what, know what the father is like? Well, just look at me. Look what I've done. So what did Jesus do? Jesus loved people. Jesus healed people. Jesus saved people. Jesus blessed people. Jesus got mad at people. Got mad at the religious crowd, those that were falsifying. You know, this is a total complete side note. You know when Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, you know, you've grown dull of hearing? When I read that this morning, I saw dull of hearing. I thought, wow, you know, you can't be dull unless you're at one time sharp. How could you become dull? You would have had to have been sharp to have been dull. So at one time they were hearing the Word of God, but then they became dull of hearing. So they had to have been sharp hearing the Word of God at some point. So I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be the person who at one time in my life and at one time in my walk with Jesus, I was sharp hearing him and acting like a son of God, but then all of a sudden I became dull. Because then you're ineffective. You're not bearing fruit. Or you're only bearing enough fruit for you to live on. But if he says to us, we're supposed to have faith like God, I mean, that just threw it into a realm out there that is just enormous. We're trying to trust him and believe him for the things going on in our life, but he's saying, no, you should be creating worlds. I'm like, man, Lord, that is, seems like so far out of our league. How could we do it? So I want to show you. He goes on here and he says, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, everybody say, speaking to a mountain. I'm going to say, he says, speak to a mountain. Right? He says, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will be done, and he will have whatever he says. So then, sons of God speak to mountains. Are you with me? Sons of God speak to mountains. That's what we're called to do. We're called to speak to mountains. Now, go over, if you would, Old Testament. Go to the book of Ezekiel 36. And let me just show you here in the Old Testament that this is not a strange way of thinking. Ezekiel 36, verse 1. He says, "And you, son of man, prophesy to the mountains of Israel and say, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord." That word prophesies. It's speaking, right? It's preaching, it's declaring, it's speaking the prophetic word of God. That's what it means. He says, "He, I don't want to read it all here, but he says, go back and start out and tell the mountains, you mountains hadn't been producing, you've been part of the enemy, you've been not any good for us, you haven't been bearing fruit. Does it sound familiar to Mark 11? And then look over in verse 8. He says, "But you, O mountains of Israel, you shall shoot forth your branches and yield fruit to my people, Israel, for they are about to come." If you go back to verse 7, it says, "Therefore says the Lord, I have raised my hand in an oath, and surely the nations that are around you will bear their own shame." He says, "I will multiply men upon you." In other words, he says, I want you to go out there and speak to the mountains of Israel, and I want you to tell those mountains what I'm telling them that they're going to produce. Sounds exactly like what Jesus said about the fig tree in Mark 11. Well, why not? Because he's just doing what he saw his father do. We look at it and say, "Oh, wow, look at that. It's bad." But he's just operating like daddy does. Daddy says, "Go out and speak to the mountains of Israel. Say to them, you're going to produce. You're going to bring forth everything we need to do. No longer are you going to be barren. No longer you're not going to produce. You're going to go out there and you're going to produce and you're going to be a blessing to us because I said so." He says, Mark 11 was a natural thing to Jesus. He just operated just like his father did. He just went into the fig tree and said, "Man, you're not producing fruit. I curse you." And then the fig tree, because Jesus spoke to it, had to obey the word of God, of a son of God, of the Son of God, speaking to it. Okay? So if you're going to see fruit to be born in your life, mountains, obstacles, anything that's not bearing fruit in your life are keeping you from producing fruit. As a son of God, if you're going to walk like your daddy does, you're going to have to speak to it. You can't be sitting there saying, "Oh, gosh, I wish you'd do something, Lord. I mean, Lord, can you do something about this and make this go away?" Well, let's go back a little. Back to Genesis. Let's go all the way back. Genesis 1. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea." If he's going to make man in his image, and he says, "Let's have man in his image," and I'm not going to produce a man who's not going to be in dominion. Because I'm a God who's in dominion. So if I'm going to produce a man who's going to be my son, then my son is going to be in dominion. I'm not producing a son to be defeated. I'm producing a son to have dominion. Y'all hearing me tonight? He said, "I'm producing a son to have dominion and to walk in dominion because I'm God. And I create the heavens and the earth and all that are in it. And I spoke into the stars and I spoke into this thing and it had dominion. And if I have a son who's going to act like me, then he's going to have dominion. He's not going to be defeated. He's not going to live a life just with flesh dominating him. He's not going to live a life with crazy thinking. He's not going to live a life with defeat mentality. He's not going to live a life that the enemy wants. He's going to live a life for me. So he's going to be a son that's going to have dominion. He's going to speak. He's going to talk. He's going to walk on the face of this earth. He's going to speak to mountains, and they're going to be thrown in the sea. He's going to be a son that's going to have faith like I have faith. That's you he's talking about. That's you who's saved and born again and washed in the blood of Jesus. That's you who he's called to be sons of God. Isn't it amazing how the devil always wants to defeat us? Isn't it amazing how he has a really good hold on saying somebody, either you saying something to yourself that defeats you, or somebody saying something to you that defeats you. Like that's used to when I would be traveling in Mexico, I always was amazed about something, is that they never, like when you're in poverty, you don't spend money on mirrors. That's just not up high up on the priority list of mirrors. And I'd go live with these people and be in their houses with them, there'd be no mirrors. And so I'd go for weeks and never see myself. So, you know, I go for weeks now, I can't see myself because if I don't put my glasses on, you know, I never can see. Oh, man, you left me some big pizza hair over here, you know, or something, you know, but are y'all with me? You don't put glasses on, you don't know what you look like. You just think, you just see a vague image up there. But there'd be no mirrors in there. And so you'd go for a week or two, you wouldn't think about what your hair looked like. You wouldn't think about how your shirt looked like. Was it wrinkled? Or, you know, you didn't think anything. You just got up in the morning, put your clothes on. You know, you did the best you could to think your hair was in its right place. And you know what I'm saying? Because there was no mirror. There's nothing to look at. And I remember I never had any negative thoughts about myself because I never saw myself. I'm just living and just walking, and I don't know what I look like. You know, everybody's looking at me, and I'm just like, hey, you know. I mean, my hair could have been just, and I would have known it, you know. It didn't make any difference. That's why I wear a hat all the time. But you see what I'm saying? Nowadays, we wake up, we look in the mirror, we see imperfections, we see all this stuff, we see this, we need this, and oh my gosh, I got to do this, and oh my Lord, this is right here. And so the enemy's defeating us. Well, how's he defeating us? It's thoughts, but aren't those thoughts have word to them? He just says something to us and we get defeated. All I'm saying to you is, can you imagine if you lived a life and you didn't ever have a negative thought coming towards you? How much more positive you would be? The enemy comes in and he speaks to us and he cuts our feet out from under us with words. But if we were just the kind of sons of God that would walk, and all we did was we walk and we just spoke to mountains and had dominion. It's like today on the job, you know. I mean, I'm the boss on the job. Ain't nobody gonna say anything to me. And so I don't know what I had. Something on my face. I had something yellow streaked on the side of my face. And I must have gone and talked to like three or four or five of the subs, had this big something yellow on the side of my face. And not till I got to one of them who's, you know, more of my friend or whatever. He looks like, he got some yellow all over the side of his face. And nobody said anything to me, though. Nobody looked and said, oh, man, you know, you look silly. Because I'm the boss. I'm in charge. I mean, they said it after I walked away. I know. They laughed. But to my face, they didn't say nothing. Are y'all with me? As sons of God, we're called to walk on the face of this earth. And when situations and circumstances and problems come in your way, you're supposed to have God kind of faith. You're supposed to be able to look at it and say, okay, now how are we going to tackle this and how are we going to overcome this? Because God, you made me an overcomer. So I want you to get up a piece of paper. I want you to write these down. You're going to need to know these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 scriptures. You're going to need to write these scriptures down, 6 of them. And you can go look them up later and write them all out, put them on something nice. But you're going to need to write these 6 scriptures down. Because I want to give you 6 areas you are not supposed to be defeated in. Okay? Y'all ready? First one. Colossians 1:13. Colossians 1:13 says, you've been translated from the kingdom of darkness and been delivered into the kingdom of his dear son. Well, wait a minute. The rules of wherever, the rules of Russia do not apply to me. The law in Russia does not apply to me when I'm in the United States. If I go to Russia, they'd apply to me, but I'm not in Russia. I'm in the United States. So Russian law, a police officer can't stop me here and say, look, you just broke, you know, law so-and-so and so-and-so of Russia. And I said, what are you talking about? I'm in the United States. This law doesn't apply to me. Well, then how can the kingdom of darkness, any of the rules of the kingdom of darkness apply to me if I'm in the kingdom of his dear son? If I'm in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the devil can't apply to me. So just think there for a minute. What's in the kingdom of darkness? I mean, we all go with lying's in the kingdom of darkness. Sickness. Sickness in the kingdom of darkness? Are there any sick people in heaven? Aren't you sure? I'm pretty sure there ain't no sick people in heaven. They don't have an infirmary in heaven. The holy infirmary. Where it's just some sick souls. Am I right? It's not there. So then sickness is of the kingdom of darkness. It can't be of the kingdom of God. Sadness, loneliness, jealousy, bitterness, anger. So the kingdom of darkness. If you're a son of God walking like your father walks, then we can't let the laws of the kingdom of darkness apply to us if we're in the kingdom of God. So Colossians 1:13 needs to be a scripture that you get out and you speak out of your mouth every day and say, wait a minute, thank you, Lord, I have been transferred, taken out of, I no longer am in the kingdom of darkness. I'm in the kingdom of God. And I'm going to walk today in the kingdom of God. I'm going to walk by the rules of the kingdom of God. Oh, let me check, Lord. I think it says, I'm blessed in the city and I'm blessed in the field and I'm blessed when I come and I'm blessed when I go. That's the kingdom and the principles I work under. Hello? If you're going to walk like a son of God, well, then you have to walk by the rules of the kingdom of God. Does that mean nothing bad will ever happen to you? Well, no, it does mean that according to Psalms 91, he's going to give his angels charge over to keep you in all your ways. So it means that nothing's going to be forever except what the kingdom of God's rules are. Yeah, we live in a fallen world. Yes, we're in this kingdom, in this earth right now, in this earthly world, but it still doesn't mean that those laws apply to you. We live in the kingdom of God. God's got the last word about my life. All right? The second one. Romans 6:6. Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. If you're going to walk in the kingdom of God, you're going to walk as a son of God. Sin does not have dominion over your body. Sin has no dominion over your mind. If you walk in sin, you choose to walk in it and allow it to happen. You need to wake up every day and say, look, today, sin, you're not going to have dominion over me. I used to be given to anger, but now I'm not. I used to be given to drugs, but now I'm not. I used to be given to alcohol, but now I'm not. I used to be given to jealousy, but no, now I'm not. Because I've been crucified. The old man's dead. I'm a new man. I'm walking in the kingdom of God rules. I'm walking as a son of God. I'm walking in the kingdom of God. And so, sin, you don't have dominion over me today. Hello? That's like since my wife has been gone, man, I've had some of the most wicked thoughts about eating things. It's like I didn't realize how much of a stability she was in my life to keep me from just, you can't imagine how many ice cream things I have passed up in this time she's been gone. I said, no, you don't have dominion over me. I broke that habit in my life. I broke it. I'm not going to yield it. I'm not going to give into it. I am not going to go there. And then it's just 3 miles further. And then it's all over me again. It won't go away. It's just like lurking outside my door. And I've held strong. But, I mean, it's just there. I had to tell it no all the time. I had to speak to that mountain and say, get out. No, I'm not going back there. But, I mean, it started out like it was just an ice cream cone. And then it was like, well, let's move up to a blizzard. And then now I'm down to like buying a half a gallon of ice cream. I mean, like I actually stopped in front of the store and fought it in the truck. Man, wrestling out there just... And I mean, it's not bad for some people, but for me, it's not good. You with me? Well, but it doesn't have dominion over me. I know I can really put my foot down and say no if I want to. It's just wanting to. And what happens is some of the sins that we have in life, we get too familiar with, and so it's just easier to go ahead with it and repent later. It really wouldn't be sin for me to eat ice cream. God's not like said, Robert, if you put ice cream in your mouth, you're in trouble. No. I just know it doesn't do good for me, and I shouldn't eat it, and so I don't want to do it. You follow me? Okay, the next one, John 16:33. Jesus says, in this world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. Circumstances and situations do not have dominion over you. If you have been translated out of the kingdom, sin doesn't have dominion over your life. Well, circumstances and situations don't either. There is a way out. He said you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Okay? Be of good cheer. I got a way out for you. So even though it's irritating, even though you know, it's some circumstances and situations are not fun, there's a way out. And the way out of it is the first thing is you have to do is you have to act like a son of God. You have to speak to the mountain and say, look, you're not going to have dominion over me. I've been taken out of the kingdom. I don't play by those kingdom rules anymore. I'm a son of God walking in signs, wonders, and miracles, and my God delivers me. Hello? I'll tell y'all this, we get tested. And so we were just about to start the men's walk. Literally 6 o'clock, it's starting. And so, you know, I'm gearing down, getting ready to put my phone up, and service over in Alto Frio is it's in and out, and my phone beeps and I look, got a phone call from the homeowner of the job that I'm working on, and he calls me, and all he said was, it was a short message, says, your trailer's burnt up, I think we got the fire out, I'll talk to you later, and then it cuts out. I mean, the walk is just getting ready to start, I'm just ready to walk in there, and I just have something I know is burnt down. And I'm like, and so I just... You know, I tried not to get irritated with it, and I just stopped my prayer, and I said, you know, Lord, I don't know what it is right now. I just commit it to you, and whatever the circumstance is, whatever the situation is, God, you're my redeemer. You're going to make it work out. Something will happen. I don't know what it is. Well, I have a travel trailer down there, and I'm thinking, that's the trailer I'm thinking about. So I call and start making phone calls to try to get, can't get anybody, can't give me no answer to the phone, you know, walk's getting ready to start. And so I'm like, man, I really would like to have a little more information about this until I just have to just, you know, cut my phone off. And so finally I get hold of Joseph, and he tells me, no, Dad, they threw some rags that they had been oiling the floor down with, and back they were wet in the back of your trailer, and they smoldered and caught on fire, and it caught your dump trailer on fire. And I said, well, is it just burnt to the ground? He said, well, don't worry about it. We'll just deal with it on Monday. So I'm like, okay, well, thank God it wasn't the travel trailer, just my dump trailer, you know? So anyway, long story short, it was not as bad as I thought it was going to be. It was, you know, it did catch on fire, and it did burn all the paint off it and all, but it didn't just destroy it. And, you know, I don't know what the redemption is. I don't know how it's all going to work out. I just know this. It doesn't really make any difference. But how timely was that to happen right before I'm walking into the walk? But you see, what are you going to do? In this world, you'll have tribulation. Be of good cheer. You know, be of good cheer. There's going to be a delivered out of there. But what are you going to do? You got to speak to the mountain. You got to talk to it because it's going to talk to you. If you don't put your foot down and talk to it, it will be talking to you. And it will tell you all the bad things. All right? Okay, the next one. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatever is born of God, wouldn't that be you, sons of God, overcomes this world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. It's our faith. This world system does not have dominion over you. We're coming into an election year, and there's going to be a president elected, right? But you got to understand something. Yes, you live in America. Yes, we have to abide by the laws of this country. But I want you to know there's a world system greater than this world system. There is a heaven system that's greater than this world system. And no matter what happens, God is still in control. A man may think they're in control, but I want you to understand something. God is in control. Last time I checked, God's still in control of my life. He's in charge of the breath that's in my life. And I'm going to live to the age that I'm supposed to live to. And ain't nothing going to kill me off sooner. Hello? This world system doesn't have dominion over me. This world system may turn against me. I always thought it was funny how when you read Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about, and they were beaten, and they were whipped, and they were, you know, whatever, and fed to the lions, and they praised God all the way through. I'm like, yeah, Lord, I just really like something a little different. I mean, I really don't want to have to walk through that if I can keep from the getting beat. I mean, Paul and Silas have been beaten, putting stocks down in the prison, and they're singing. I just hope I could do that. You know, I just wouldn't want to be the one grumbling, griping, complaining. You, sir, get out of these stocks. I want to go out there, rip into that guy. You know, because they saw a miracle, but that's pretty rough. Right? I would rather not have to be fed to the lions. I would rather not have to go look up, be thinking about the scriptures of Daniel and the angels shutting the mouth of the lions and trying to put my faith in that. I would really wouldn't want to walk in that. You know? But if I do, at least I got a scripture to throw at them and just pray I get hung up in one of the lion's throat and he chokes on me. All right? So this world system doesn't have dominion over you. Okay, the next one here. 2 Thessalonians 3:2. 2 Thessalonians 3:2. I'll read 1 and 2. It says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of God may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you, and that we be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. The next things that sons of God have to understand is that you're not subject to wicked, unreasonable men. They do not have dominion over you. They may cause you problems. They may irritate you, but they're not going to win. Because 2 Thessalonians 3:2 says, wait a minute, you're delivered from the power of wicked, unreasonable men. Okay, so think about what I'm saying here. We read the Old Testament scripture, speak to the mountains. We read the New Testament scripture, speak to the mountains. So if you're going to operate as the Son of God, how are you going to? You got to speak to the mountains. If you're going to have God kind of faith, you're going to have to speak to mountains. You're going to have to address anything that doesn't line up with these things in your life. You're going to have to address it. You're going to have to speak to it. You can't drive down the road all day long letting the enemy tell you how sorry you are. You're not going to have any victory in that. You're not acting like a son of God. You've got to stand up and speak to those mountains. Or you're not going to have any victory. Let me give you one more. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Flesh does not have dominion over you. Why do I fight the ice cream? It's not really sin, it's just flesh. Flesh is wicked. I mean, I love to use this example because I think we've all been there. You say you're not going to go eat the cookies, or you're not going to eat that other piece of cake, or you're not going to eat that chocolate. You're not going to do it. And then you just finally give in and you go do it. And then immediately your flesh says, oh, you were so sorry, weak, fat, ugly. Right? Your flesh is off for you. Go do it, go do it, go do it, go do it. And then you do it, and then it turns on you. I mean, flesh does not fight fair at all. It's ridiculous. How about just like trying to lose weight? You control your calories. Now just think about how this body is devised. You control your calories and you exercise. And then all of a sudden, you lose weight and you feel so good about yourself. And then you hit this plateau and your body readjusts itself. It readjusts itself to the amount of calories you're eating and the exercise you're eating. So then therefore, you don't lose any more weight. I'm like, what are you doing to me? I'm trying to make you stronger and live longer or be healthier, and then you're uncooperative. What is wrong with you? And I talk to my body all the time. Why do I have this stupid malfunctioning earth suit? I mean, come on, metabolism, why have you quit?
Well, when you get older, you know.
Well, why? I need it to keep working. I need you to work for me, not against me. Are you with me? Y'all all know what I'm talking about. Flesh is so demonic. I mean, it's just a lioness piece of trash. But I want to tell you something. It does not have dominion over you. It doesn't have dominion over you. You are a son of God, and greater is he that's within you than he that's in this world. Greater is he that lives in you than he lives in this world. Okay? You got to get the revelation and get understand. If you're going to walk as a son of God, you got to know who's on the inside of you. And you say, Jesus, you got to make this work out. I'll never forget years and years and years ago. And this is a pretty wild story, but in places like I was traveling, you could see all kinds of wild things happen because people just believed. It's unbelievable. But anyway, years and years and years ago, I was in Africa, and I was right off out of the. I was in Botswana, right on the edge of the Kalahari Desert, and I was preaching in a revival meeting that night. I had a tent up there, and I'll never forget, this girl came up. She was pretty tall. She was like 6'1" tall, and she was limping. And I asked her what was wrong, and she said to me that there's a problem with one of my legs. It's one leg is shorter than the other. And so I said, you know, I mean, I was young and wired and inspired and spit flying, and we were having a great old Pentecostal meeting, and God had already seen some of the miracles take place. And I said, well, just sit down in the chair here. Let me see. And I pulled her legs up, and sure enough, one of her legs is about 2 inches longer than the other one. And so I said to her, I was just about to pray for her, and then it just hit me. I mean, it was a strong impression. I said, well, let me ask you this. Do you want to be 2 inches taller or 2 inches shorter? Right? Because I'm thinking, and I never thought of that. And tears just came down her eyes, and she said, oh, if I could just be 2 inches shorter. I'm so tall. I hate that I'm so tall. And I prayed, and as God is my witness, that girl's leg went back. And when she stood up, her legs were the same height, and she was, I mean, I didn't measure going in and measure going out, but she felt that she had lost. She wasn't as tall. God did something in her soul that made her feel good about herself. So, you know, we look at people and you think you're too short, but there's other people that wrestle with being too tall. Right? I'm going to take a side note here, because another amazing thing. I was talking to Ivan today, and he told me that years and years ago, he was in Corpus, I believe he said Corpus, and he was preaching in a church, and he prophesied to these two boys. One of them, they were like 9 and 10, young boys, and he prophesied to them that God was going to do great things with them. They're going to do great things in music, and he was going to do this, and they're going to do that, and he was going to be a preacher, and one of them was going to be a pastor, and that they were going to have music and music ministry and all this kind of stuff, and so... You know, of course, it's like always he's out of the church and he's gone off somewhere else. And then, you know, he wouldn't back around and never said anything, never addressed those two boys ever again. And then years go by, a lot of years go by, and Gavin is on an airplane and he's flying somewhere and he starts visiting with the person sitting beside him. And he looked kind of artisty, had long hair and whatever. And they started talking and struck up a conversation with both musicians and started talking about like this. And so, you know, he had this cassette tape in his hand. He was holding on to it. And so they began to talk. And so finally Gavin introduced him and said, well, I'm Gavin Tate. And the guy just looked at him and says, Tate, you wouldn't by chance be related to Ivan Tate, would you? He said, yeah, he's my dad. And he said, oh my gosh. He said, I was in church. I was nine years old. And Ivan prophesied that we were going to be musicians going around the world and do all this kind of stuff for Jesus and whatever. And so Gavin's like, you got to be kidding. He said, this is a cassette tape. This is the tape. He said, I listen to it every day of his prophecy to me. And he said, well, what are you doing? He says, well, have you ever heard of the band Leland? Have y'all ever heard of Leland? And that's them. And Gavin's like, what? And he's just freaking out. And so come to find out that one of the boys has married Micah W. Smith's daughter, and they're pastor, and he's going to pastor the church now. So everything that Ivan prophesied to those two boys when they were 9 and 10, they held on to the cassette tape all these years and then became what they are today. Is that crazy or what? Do what? Be on the airplane at the same time. And we were just, that's what got me stirred up about this as I began to dwell on that all day long. And I was just thinking about, man, those spoken words going out, spoken words going into that mountain, speaking to that mountain. I don't know what they wrestled with. I don't know what those boys ever had to wrestle with or whatever. I know, I can guarantee you, it was just not like fell upon them that day and it was all just easy and they just walked through everything in life. No, God had to develop them there. You know they had obstacles and hurdles to come because it just doesn't happen like that. It's not pixie dust that you throw on here and then it just magically happens. And why did he have the cassette in his hand if he wouldn't have had to remember what Ivan had prophesied over him? You with me? He had to hear those words that kept speaking to him, that kept developing on the inside of him, kept saying, yes, God, you can. Well, when you wake up and you take these words that I'm giving you right here, these six scriptures, And you take these six scriptures and you begin to speak them out over your life and you begin to declare, no, I'm translated from the kingdom of darkness. No, sin, you don't have dominion over me. No, no, no. The circumstances going on today, I'm going to have victory over these circumstances. This world system, you don't have dominion over me because my faith has been operating. I'm walking in that. Wait a minute, flesh, you're not going to rule this thing. And I, by the way, I'm not subject to wicked, unreasonable men. You start speaking and acting and talking like a son of God like that, you're going to see mountains begin to move. You're going to see Mark 11, 23 and 24 happening in your life. You're going to see things defeated, fall off, chains fall off, yokes fall off, burdens fall off, voices be quietened in your head. And you're going to be walking like sons of God. Amen? So take those six scriptures, put them on your icebox. Stick them somewhere you're going to write them on your arm. Tattoo them on your hand. Do something radical. Right? Get them to where, man, you're not going to forget those things. Because I want to tell you something. You'll be challenged in the morning, if not before you get home. Right? But now you got some bullets to shoot. You got some missiles to launch. You almighty sons of God. Amen? Isn't that cool about... I got to go listen to him. I've never even heard of Leland. Really? He said corpus, but that's corpus as far as, you know, anywhere in that. Yeah, and that may be because Ivan would preach on there for a while, right? And then he didn't preach there for a while. Yeah, because that he is, you know, because he said I hadn't been back to that church in years. Yeah. So that may be the church right there. Is that wild or what? And so y'all are here and he's here. And apparently he just did something in Hillsong. I don't know. Ivan was saying something about that he just was down there in Hillsong. And anyway, praise God. Cool. Amen. Well, praise God. Let's take up our offering tonight. So I was giving Ivan a hard time. I said, man, you know, you're really getting famous. I said, I'm glad I got a famous friend. He just starts laughing. He's laughing with him so hard. He could catch his breath. And I said, man, that makes me feel good. I got a famous friend. And oh, man, he's just getting embarrassed as I was just giving him a hard time. Infamous. It's like infamous. Some more. Praise God. Well, if you need an offering envelope, lift up your hands. They'll get you one. If not, put your hand on your offering tonight. Father, I just thank you for blessing these people. Lord, this message tonight just sinking into their heart. And I just thank you, Lord, that we speak to the mountains of finances tonight. And I just declare, Lord, that finances come in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. I declare that wealth and riches just are lavished upon everybody, that people find gold and silver in the backyards, Lord. And I just thank you. You're amazing, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Men's meeting tomorrow night. What time? 6:30. That's what we're going to call it. 6:30 tomorrow night. Men's meeting. In the fellowship hall. Sir? Not sure. Gage wasn't working. Praise the Lord. Forevermore. Stand up. Look at the person around you and say, speak to your mountains. Praise God. Grab that person's hand, squeeze it a little bit, and say, you better do it. Now, Lord, I just declare as we go out of here tonight that these people are sons of God. They're going to walk in it. I declare that this word is revelation to them tonight. I declare, Lord God, it inspires them. I thank you that, Lord, that it becomes the words right off of their lips tomorrow, and that every mountain is defeated, every mountain is thrown into the sea, and, Lord, that there is just victory in everyone's life in Jesus' name. Amen.